right, welcome to episode number 12 of our podcast Up on Foil, the podcast where we talk all about foiling. And I'm not going to do that. I'm Matt from Switzerland and whatnot, because we did that 11 times already, so people know who we are. But we have a guest today, a special guest. It's Michi Naff, or maybe you know him as Roham on Instagram. He's a wing foil pioneer from Switzerland. He's a team rider and developer for Enzis and has been for 3 to 4 years. He's suing and riding, backflipping the Parawing, and Parawing is probably going to be topic number one, right? Michi, thank you for being here. Did I forget anything important?
Well, I think it's everything. I'm really happy to share this podcast with you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Super looking forward, really. And Maybe we just, before we get into that Parawing, maybe you can just tell us in a couple of sentences, how did you get into water sport? How did you get on foil the first time?
And why your nickname?
Yeah, I mean, it started 2010. So after a snowboard season, I need a summer sport. So I started windsurfing with my girlfriend, Laura. And we found this beautiful lake Alpbach, and there were a school and there were a lot of gear. And as a summer job, we had to do something. So we said, let's learn it so we can give lessons to others about windsurfing. And yeah, there it started. I around 1 or 2 months learning windsurfing. And after that, I already gave school to some people. So that's how it started.
Were you a ski instructor?
Yes, snowboarding. So for a couple of years, and also for young kids, I gave some lessons. I was in Engelberg teaching a lot. And yeah, this made to that who I am now. So I learned a lot in snowboard school. To give lessons, and this helped me to progress by myself.
And then windsurfing, Lake Alpnach, and how did you get onto foil, or when did you get onto foil the first time?
Yes, it's probably around 6 years it started. I remember, probably it came from kite foiling. We saw already kite surfers doing it, and somehow it started with windsurfing. There was like Locke foil, the first foil I've ever seen which worked for wind foiling, and somehow Balz got this kind of foil from Locke, and then we built our own board. Like, that was called the Ferrari board from Balz, and he painted also red. And then we went to the Lac de Wallis, and there I had my first try on this wind foil. And the Lac de Wallis, or what's the name? I don't know the name anymore. I don't know. I can't remember. But it's a really small lake. And you couldn't actually plane with a windsurf gear. So we decided to use a foil, because with foil you get up really early. And there I had my first try. And immediately I get up on the foil, and I was hooked about that feeling, and that you can go in really, really light wind. And yes, since then I'm addicted in foiling, and the sport started growing.
Yeah, that's just, is that the little really small lake next to the highway?
Yeah, it's like this, that next to the highway. And yeah, they have always wind. Like,
it's the windiest lake in Switzerland.
Yeah, they have thermal wind in the afternoon. In the morning there's somehow the wind from the other direction. It's like Lake Garda. And it's crazy how much wind you can have there. And actually, I'm missing this kind of lake here close to my place, because here, it's not every day windy like there.
Where are you based at the moment? I guess you're in Switzerland, but which area more or less?
Yeah, I'm coming from Lucerne. I'm living here since 2 years. Yeah, I know this place. It's great for going foiling, because we have like 5 minutes by walk. I'm at the lake for doing pump foiling, and probably like 20 minutes to my home spot, Lake Alpnach. And always in between my breaks from working, I can go sailing or wind foiling in this lake. And yeah, I always check the forecast in the morning, and if there is wind, I travel to this lake, and then after the session, I go back to work. I mean, here in Switzerland, you have just like 2-3 hours wind, so it's perfect. So you can work, then you can go surfing, and then you can go back to work.
And yeah, how about the handle, Roham?
Ah, about my name. Yes, that's a quite long story. Or mine, it's a short story. It started in Cape Town. There I was windsurfing, and in Cape Town there was this kind of restaurant called Gacho, and I was there with some windsurf guys, and we were always at this called Gacho, and I was always ordering raw ham, and the English people, like Adam, he didn't understand what is raw ham, what are you going to order? And then my raw ham, that's what we have on the pizza. And then he said, like, you mean prosciutto crudo? And because we know only prosciutto crudo, and since then he was calling me raw ham, and yeah, everybody was calling me raw ham, and I was trying to do also this raw kind of tricks, and this fits somehow to my personality then, so that's why I got this name raw ham.
Yeah, it was like in my mind because like in Italian, prosciutto crudo is like raw ham, like the translation word by word. But yeah, in English, I guess it's not a thing.
Yeah, it's that.
And then you started teaching windsurfing, and you started falling eventually with bullets. And maybe we can just your relationship with bullets is quite special, because we see you guys all the time together. You're somehow linked. How did that happen?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, we started already windsurfing. He was an idol for me. You know, it's like I was looking at him. He's doing these crazy wild tricks on windsurfing, and I want to learn this. And then a new sport came up, this foiling. And then we were always challenging somehow each other, learning new tricks, thinking of new tricks. And yeah, since then we are kind of brothers who try to get the next tricks and to learn together, to be together, having fun on the water and enjoying every day. And I think it's not only on the water, we are also kind of working together with ENSYS, so we're part of the developing team. And yeah, it's always like thinking what we want to have next, what we're going to develop next. And yeah, we are so passionate, so that working makes fun, and that's a really nice part of my job.
Let's get into your job. Probably after school, you weren't a snowboard teacher to begin with. You probably learned something else. What was that?
After that, I made a study of energy and environment engineer. And then I went to the high school Lucerne. And I'm working as an engineer for building technologies, mainly air ventilation. So I have my background in engineering. And yeah, I'm also part of the developing team now for ENSYS. That's the other part. And connecting these two jobs, it's really helpful for me. I mean, I know the engineering stuff as a background, which I can use now for developing as well in a way we develop for ENSYS. And also, it's like a good balance in working, you know, like something which is really more in the brain, and the other part is testing, going out on the water, having kind of fun while working, and this is a really nice balance I have.
That's so cool. And like, if you can tell a little bit about the process, so you have an idea, you test it, and then you can develop it. It's like crazy, because it's not that common that like you are both a rider and a developer. Like you literally like you design, I guess, gear, right? So tell us a little bit about that.
I remember the first design I did also by myself. It was actually a pump foil. So I remember there was subfoil, and we didn't have a kind of good pump foil. So I thought, I'm going to build my own pump foil. So I went to the office from the high school of CERN. I knew we have there some 3D printers. So and I have a feeling how does this foil should looks like, and then I draw it somehow on my CHD program, and then yeah, I had kind of really nice foil, and it was actually now it's close to the Leviathan foil, and yeah, I was designing it by myself. I built it by myself, went to the water, and was straight hooked about this foil. And then I thought, well, yeah, why not building by myself? Going out, having fun, and yeah, then it's like, you have done something which works, and maybe other people will also have fun with it.
And now, are you developing like foils only, or even boards, Farrowings?
Yes, I mean, I'm testing a lot everything. Like, we have foils, we have boards, we have wings, we have now Farrowings, and yes, it's like there's always work to do, you know. If I've tested already something, there's something new coming which I have to test. And mainly it's like starting actually kind of like, let me think of a wing. So we have a wing, we got this wing, we need to test it, give some feedback. We need some reinforcements there, we need some tensions there, we need a more comfortable feeling, we need more speed, we need more, yeah, it's always thinking of parameters, and these parameters I have to give to the designers of lenses, and they come with a new solution, and then you go out, test again, and yeah, it's really a circle of testing, and in the end we want to just have a good product which is not only good for me, also good for all the customers, because that's the main problem people think, like, oh, I design only for me, but that's wrong. I like to give my gear to other people, they can test, and I will give or get the feedback from them. And this is actually, for me, more important than my own feeling, because, yeah, I'm not the only guy who's going to write this, and for me, it's I can write everything, but more important is that other people can write it.
Yes, that was actually a question of mine, because in Wingels, where it was the Swiss Championship in pump foiling, I saw you going out in, it was less than 10 knots, it was maybe 5 knots. But as you can start wing foiling without any wind at all, right? You can just start pumping your longboard. The things you built, of course, you can ride them, but someone like me needs to be able to ride it too. How good can you make the difference?
Yeah, it's really hard. For me, it's also important like that people don't have to buy too much gear, you know?
Thank you.
I mean, there are gear on the market. You can choose like, yeah, 20 different foils or wings, whatever. And for me, it's more important that you can have like 2-3 foils, which fits in kind of any condition. And I also want to represent more this side than to have just a lot of gear. I mean, I have a lot of gear, but I could ride actually with 2-3 foils, which are my favorite foils. And with that, you can fit more or less, I would say, 80% of the people needs.
Let's get into the really the main topic, because it's super hot right now, that Parawing. When was the first time you saw it somewhere, I guess in the on Instagram or somewhere, and when did you say, I need to build that as well, I need to use it, I want to use it? How did that happen?
It's a really nice story. I remember it was I think beginning of the year spring started, yes, the downwind journey started as well, and there were many people starting paddling, and there I already thought, is there maybe something different than we can use on paddling? Then I already thought then about, hey, why not using kind of kite? And then I released this mind and I thought, now I can paddle, I don't need it anymore. And then I saw the first time this kind of parachute, what is that, this orange-white downwind parachute. Cynthia was using it, I remember. That's a woman which was really addicted in parving then it was downwinding. And I saw the first time she was doing that. And I thought, oh, now it's going to be probably something for the future. And then Kilian came with such a kind of parachute. Then I thought, okay, let's see if we can do it. And then we went to Lake Sandbach and he was testing it. And yeah, it was funny, like this parachute, it just went downwind. So it didn't went left or right. You cannot reach upwind angles. And then I thought, that's maybe not that way we should go. Maybe we need really a kind of kite which can cross sideways. Then I took once my 2 square meter kite or training kite and tried it, but yeah, there was not enough wind, around 10, 15 knots. And yeah, then I dropped it again. I thought, maybe I need a bigger one. And suddenly I saw this kind of para wing, which came from BRM, so from Broad Riding Maui. And yeah, it was crazy. Like, well, okay, now this is the direction we should go. And this is what we need, because this can go crosswind. You can pack this para wing. And yeah, you will have many people making happy which don't want to paddle and using this kind of para wing. And then I went to Patrick. This is our wing designer. And he told me, hey, probably I have something in my cellar, like kind of a paraglide training kite. It was this free paraglider. I don't know if you see that already.
Yeah. Super high aspect, right?
Yeah, it was super high aspect. And yeah, he came with this up and I thought, wow, that looks exactly like this kind of para wing BRM was using. And we just mounted the kind of bar on it. And then I was trying it the first time in Lake Altenach. And then I suddenly could get out in, was struggling sometimes with the bridles, with the lines. But in the end, I was riding, I could foil it from the first day. And I thought, okay, this is going to be the future. And then I straight went out. I was calling Baltz, hey, Baltz, it works. I sent him a video. And the next day, he just came to Lake Alba because he wanted to try it. And
I saw that. I think I saw that as well. He had this more round kind of kite,
yes,
right?
Yeah, this NASA kite or NASA wing, I don't know the name. And that was from his school project, or I don't know. He made it by himself or he got it from his father, I'm not sure. And he came up with this NASA para wing, and I had this yellow para wing, and we were sharing this two kind of wings. And he had actually on his kite, I think it was a wooden bar, like really a wood piece. So really blue brass style, Balz would say. And yeah, we tried it and we just fell in love with this kind of setup we had. We went out with a downwind board. We could fly, enjoy just having cruising and having something new, learning something new. That's already what makes fun. And then we thought, okay, now we need something for ENSYS because this is going to be the future for sure. And yes, then already the thinking of developing something happened. So Patrick is also the guy who's developing these wings, and he knew or he had the experience of paragliding, and he has said, hey, I can do it in a few days, a kind of parawing. He has already something in his mind how we can make this, because he already made also this green yellow one before in the school. And then yeah, he went to his office in it's close to Engelberg, Grafenort, and he started designing and drawing the para wing. And straight after 3-4 days, we had our first ENSYS para wing. This is para wing you saw already, is the white pink one. And with that, we were quite happy. And just had to test some more details about bridle configuration. we made adjustments on the tips, on the bar, etc. So it was a really long development story. And then, yeah, after we tried it, we called our boss Carl. Hey, now we're gonna have to do it. We need to go into production because this is gonna be a bestseller. And yes, then we made another Parawing, which has now the final design, which is the black, pink, blue one. We have some different colors in the bridles, so we can really sort out what is in the front, what is on the back, and also the bridles, different colors. So when you get tangled with the bridles, so we can really easily untangle the problem. We thought we need to be really quick, and we were like day and night thinking of Parawings, dreaming about Parawings, and suddenly we had this kind of dream of Parawing. And from that on, I took that Parawing, went first time downwinding in Lac Neuchâtel, and I saw the potential that's going to be huge, even here in Switzerland, even more than with a pattern, I think.
But so before we dive into the case use, like I want to know, like, even how difficult it is to learn compared to winging, because I think that that's going to be really useful. But before that, I want to know, like, briefly, if you could say something like at a technical level, like, what's the difference between the ANSYS Parawing and maybe another Parawing? Why isn't it too high aspect? Like something like that.
Yes, I can try to give you some information. I mean, starting Parawinging is not easy, especially when you have no experience with wing sports, because you cannot hold like on a wing somewhere, because with the wing you can hold somewhere on the water, but with the Parawing you just hold it in one hand and it has to fly, and the balance is way, way harder. And I would say that Parawinging helps for sure not, or having a water sports background. I'm really curious about people who pump foil and never had wind sports experience. I mean, I really want to try it with Kilian.
Or with Guile maybe.
Exactly. I was also wondering, like, for example, for people like myself who are not wing foilers but are decent pump foilers, I was thinking, like, maybe you could learn. You dog start, you pump a bit, you pump out, for example, and then you take it out. So you don't have like the struggle of starting. And then after you learn this way, then you can try to start with a maybe higher volume board. Do you see it?
You're the same thinking like Kilian, and I thought, like, is that good when you start with pump foiling and then you lose your pump board and then you're struggling? Okay, here's my Parawing, here's my board. So how can I swim back now? And that's going to be a huge problem. So I think I wouldn't recommend, because if you fall, you're lost. I mean, I always recommend use a leash on your board for sure, because if not, yeah, you have nothing to swim with you.
You cannot body drag like with a wing, right?
Yeah, but when it's in the water and you somehow tangled in this Parawing,
all right, yeah,
then you're gonna have a huge problem. I always say take for sure at the beginning a big board, so you can sit on it, you can grab the bar or the handle, sit on it, take the Parawing out, untangle everything, release the water from the Parawing, and then try to hold it. I mean, you don't need to fly in the beginning of Parawing. You can start just cruising from left to right. That's already possible. I mean, we gave this Parawing already to Billy, and he's not used to it, but he could easily steer already this Parawing left, right, and I mean, yeah, soon it's get good condition here, he will try it. And I'm really curious about the first pump foiler who have no experience in winging doing it.
Super cool. And in terms of difficulty to learn, is it more difficult than wing foiling? Like, again, if someone is starting from scratch and doesn't have a wing foil background, is it more difficult to learn?
I would say, I never had this experience so far with others, but I would say it is more difficult. I mean, you can, with a wing, you can easier pump and get going easier. With borrowing, you need to work more with leg than with pumping the arms. And secondly, you don't generate as much power in the borrowing like on a wing. But we are at the starting of the developing. We will see where it goes. And I think in the future, maybe even borrowing gets better upwind angle, it's going to be faster than winging. But yeah, it's just a start.
I am struggling right now with downwind foiling. I had like two and a half sessions with the paddle, and it's getting a little better. But with that, would the parawing be a shortcut for me?
Yeah, I think it can. You can release the paddle and starting parawing. I mean, I started also downwinding with a paddle, and the first hours I was complaining about this paddle. I thought like, this shit, I'm never gonna do this again. And then I got some more practice time, and then I was hooked about the feeling, because yeah, riding downwind for 20 kilometer one wave, that's just insane. And this feeling, it's my most incredible feeling I ever had, and I want that everybody can try this and do this and can have this feeling, because it's like powder. But in powder, you have just down the hill like 1 kilometer, and here it's 20 kilometer. And yeah, this feeling is just insane. And yeah, I think if we can put some guys on a para wing in a proper wind, I mean, it's starting from above 20 knots, it makes fun even here in Swiss Lakes, because then the waves getting bigger. For sure, many people will learn it, because you need just the para wing for starting. And when you pack it down, you can easily ride these waves and learning how to downwind foil it.
For me, it looks what looks more difficult is when I'm on with my paddle, I'm in the axis of the waves. I'm looking directly downwind, and with the parawing, I need to be like in a maybe 90 degrees angle to the waves. Isn't that much more difficult to stand up and have the balance before like being on foil?
The parawing gives you also kind of balance. As soon you have it up, you can hold somewhere. So you can knee on your board, stand up, and as soon you stand up, you can try to pump a bit, and you're on the foil, and on the foil you feel safe. Because this you know from pump foiling or for winging somehow, and then it's easy. Then you ride left, you ride turn right, and then if you think now there's a wave, you go downwind and pack the parawing together. And yeah, searching the next wave.
I have seen that your parawing has a leash in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Is I guess the leash is long enough, so when you put it in your like kangaroo or shopping bag in front, that you can still move your arms. Is that so?
Yes, I mean there is an option for a leash, because our bar has a center part, and in the center part there is the parawing has an A, B, C, and a D layer. And if we pull at the center part of the bar, then our parawing it's kind of depower or a safety, because when you pull, it have a safety, and then the parawing goes down, and yeah, it's not pulling anymore. This is only kind of for safety reasons. So if there's too much wind, that you can really depower and bring the parawing down. Or if you want to just sit on the board and you are connected with the leash and the center line, then the power will decrease and you can easily get up on the board again. That's the only reason why we have it in the center.
That makes sense. Why is it called the Roger? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it was, we were at the dealer meeting in Spain, and yes, something we thought is like, first, it's like, oh, like a rocket was starting, our Roger, because you're throwing it and it goes. And the other thing, like, oh, maybe Roger, we have also Roger Federer, and somehow this fits. And yeah, like starting from a rocket and Roger Federer, that fits together. So most people decided to use the word Roger as our power wing.
And you have a 3 square meter. That's the only size, right? How did you come up with that size? Or until which size did you try to find out that the 3 is the best for you?
We had already this yellow one, which has around 3 square meter. And we thought, let's try again doing a 3 square meter, because we could get up early with this para wing, even on 12 knots with a big foil, with a big board. And it is super well balanced as well. I mean, you can easily control it. And yeah, and it makes also fun when there's a lot wind, mainly when it's strong wind, the waves are better, and then we can use this kind of para wing, because the para wing has a really small range of usability from the wind side, because you're pretty close overpowered. I mean, above 30 knots, it's almost impossible to control this para wing, because there's always power. There's not a kind of deep power system yet for the para wing. And below 12 knots, it's not get you going. So that's the reason why we decided to keep it small, that you can also get one strong wind out, but not too small that you can also start from light wind.
So if you can give some numbers, the range is between 15 and 30 knots?
Yes, I would say 15 to 25 knots is really the performance area where you can use it. But if you're used to it, you can start with 12 knots and you can go up to 30 knots. I mean, where I tried this kind of backflip yesterday, because I said this in my mind, I need to do it, it was around 34 knots, and I was way overpowered. I mean, I had the whole power in my hands, and it was like, crying out. And yes, from this point, I thought, okay, actually, it would be great to have also a harness where I can get the power off my hands.
That was actually my next question, because in windsurfing, if you don't surf with a harness, you're cooked after a couple of minutes. And kite surfing is always with a harness. But then I thought, well, maybe this para wing is just not for having it on for a long time. So do you need a harness, or is it really just to get you going and then you stow it away? It's not for flat water foiling.
It really depends what you want. If you want to do just downwinders from A to B, I wouldn't recommend to use a harness, because then you're more free. But if you want to make kind of downwind journeys, going first upwind and downwind, which I also really like at some spots, you cannot reach, like here in Switzerland, with a train. So you will be happy to have a kind of lift with your Roger or your para wing. Then you would love to have a harness. And I also used already a harness to get upwind in south of France. So I started mounting the harness and then a harness line in the front part of my handlebar. And then it was super easy to go upwind. Some people ask, can you go upwind with this para wing thing? And I said, yes, it's easy possible. I mean, one thing is our shape allows it to go upwind, and the other part is like when you have a harness, you can connect, you can bring out the power from the hands to the bar with the connection to your body. So you can have only have power on the backhand to steer a bit, and you can go upwind as almost easy as a regular wing. So last time I went in here up with a para wing, I had like for doing 20 minutes downwinder, I have had 1 hour to go up. I mean, not 1 hour, 45 minutes to go up and 20 minutes to go down. It was around this. So it's super, super nice and great. And 20 minutes is around 6 kilometer downwind, right?
Yeah, so it's pretty much like a train, yeah. like a skillet, as you call it. Yeah. And you mentioned the shape of the Roger allows it. So did you do something different compared to other competitors?
There are not many brands yet, so we don't know which direction we go, but Patrick has his vision about this kind of paraglide and the view how it should be shaped and what our wing has compared maybe to other. It's we have a bit more arched shape, like the C, which gives the power in all direction. It is a bit more high aspect, which gives you the performance to go a bit more upwind. And we have for sure also a different bridle setting. At the moment we have a bit more maybe than others, but in the end you have a lot of control over this paravane and can steer it super easy. And this is also a really important thing. I mean, for the future, we will see where it goes. I mean, we have seen Gong, which is doing this low kites already with a double layer. I mean, with the kind of paraglide or this kind of kites, tubeless kites. And with this one, for sure, you have more performance, but you cannot pack it and go downwind with it because it's probably a bit too big to pack it and there's air inside and it takes a bit long to take all this air out.
I guess it's always you always have to see what helps and what not. I can imagine also the what you call the fatally?
The bridles.
The bridles, the more you use, the more the form is nice, but you have also more weight. Maybe you have more wind resistance. I don't know. How much did you try there? Did you just go with one and say, it's going to be fine? Or did you do many tests?
We did some different bridle configurations. And in the end, we had to say, like, we want to have this kind of performance, what this Arwin brings with this kind of bridle connection. And at the moment we need to be fast and we were happy with our para wing. So we decided to stay and not develop further. I mean, at a certain point there will be a V2, a V3, but at the beginning it's really important to have one. And we're still happy. We can do everything what we want. We can do downwind, we can go upwind, we can do pack flips. And yeah, at the moment it's really a super nice all-around para wing, which we are really happy about.
Did you try the BRM, it's called, Parawing?
Yes, I tried, yeah.
Yours is better.
I don't want to judge some other Parawings. Yeah, no, it's not fair. I mean, no, it's also a Parawing which worked well. I had fun with it, and many people will have also fun with this. But I'm more happy with ours.
Of course.
What's the price? What's the price? Or can we even get it? Is it out, yours?
Since mid of November, I mean, 1 week ago, we launched it. So most of the shops could already order. So the production is ongoing. So in China, the factory is fully working. And yes, I think the first 100 samples will arrive beginning of December, and other hundreds will arrive mid of December. And yeah, there at the moment, every day, I heard from our boss Carl that every day there is an ordering coming in for this borrowing. And yes, we are fully on producing, and we are also developing already the next para wings so that we have also the bigger sizes. So for sure they will come also very soon.
Is it also possible to just test them, or do you have to buy them to test them?
I mean, at the moment I give it just for friends for testing it, and we will also do some kind of para wing clinics where we can test it. And we will do probably in end of December in south of France kind of clinic where people can test. I will be there with the bolts.
Please drop the date.
Yeah, I don't know the date. I mean, it's really end of December. I think it's the last week of December.
Do you have a link to the website where we can that we can add here to the show?
Yes, I mean, we're still thinking of it and waiting for confirmation also from the shops and from our boss, and that we can arrange that somehow.
Book a spot for us too.
It's a perfect place to test it. I mean, they have really nice conditions when there's kind of onshore, you not get lost in the ocean. And yeah, I mean, Laura, my girlfriend, and Flora, they just learned in a day this burrowing. And yeah, if you give them at the beginning some advice how to do it, you can learn pretty quick. Sure, these two are good wingers. They know how to use a wing. And with the burrowing, they learn quite good. I mean, after one day in really good condition, it was flat water around 18 to 20 knots. And they used a big board and a big foil. And yeah, they had a smile in their face. Like, they're learning something new. It always gives you a smile in your face. And that's cool on this board, on this foil. It's never stopping. It's always progressing. And yeah, so cool.
If we can address a bit the price.
Yeah. You can do a backflip for free. No, that's a joke. And yes, no, it's around 750 to 850. It's the price, depending on the shops, I think, where they're selling.
That's a lot cheaper than the BRM, right?
Yes, it is.
How much is the BRM?
I think like over 1,000.
Yeah, I think. But yeah, let's see. I mean, the price will drop for sure soon as more competitors are inside, as cheaper it will be. I think also with Gong, which has direct.
We don't know the price of Gong yet, right?
Yeah, but for sure they will be cheaper, for sure.
For sure. Do you know how they have these cheap materials? How is their stuff so cheap?
Yeah, I mean, they sell directly and we have to.
Is that it?
I mean, that's the thing.
Is that the whole difference?
That's the whole difference, because there's someone who has to earn a bit more. Yeah, in the other part, I have more about advertisement and selling the brand by himself. And
exactly.
We have shops who have also to do a bit work, and that's the reason. Yeah.
Yeah. They also have a different policy with riders and ambassadors. Let's say they ship out on that side. But yeah, I remember that there was probably the first burrowing. The first burrowing was from BRM or from Pocket Wing, because I remember that probably the Pocket Wing came before everything, and then now he is a bit in the shadow, probably.
Yes, the orange white one that was Cynthia riding, and I mean, I saw that first time with her, and that was the Pocket Wing, which just goes downwind. I never see someone doing upwind with this, and yeah, then Cynthia got pretty soon, I think, this BRM. Or she could ride also a bit upwind.
Okay, so that's the difference. Okay, thank you very much. Because yeah, it's a bit cheaper, I remember, the Pocket Wing, but yeah, it's probably a different use case.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I just wanted to get into you. I don't want to get too personal, but you're growing older, right? And you have these young kids, and you're working with them as well. You're in that youth mania with Riku, very active, looking for the kids. Maybe you can tell us about that.
As you know, I also learned a lot as a kid from people who shared the stoke with me. Like I learned snowboarding from guys who had always fun. And this mental thinking I wanted to give also to our kids here in Switzerland. And I really like to work together with kids because they are always happy. They are 10 hours in the water, more or less. And enjoying like kids, like I enjoy sometimes on the water, and I have really fun being out with these kids in the water and give my advice to them how to learn something, because I had also this kind of opportunity to learn something like they do now. And yes, that's the reason why I'm doing this, really. I really like doing this. And yeah, we have this kind of Formania Youth, and this Formania Youth is like the supporting part of every foiling discipline. And then we have Swiss Foiling, where Christian Müller is the head of this group, and there's more about
episode one linked up here.
Oh yes, from Christian, and yeah, he is more doing camps, clinics, and also this competition part, and I'm doing mainly the clinic part of this Swiss Foiling, and I try to give some help to the kids how to learn backflips or the moves gonna be more crazy in the future, and but I can help them to push them in the right direction that they still have fun. I mean, the most important thing is always having fun and not going too much into this stress situation where it's about only competition or goals like being the best. I rather want to have just fun in the water together, and then when they have fun, I have fun, and yeah, then everybody is happy.
You told us what to do if you get this parawing. Maybe if you talk about that backflip, what are the steps?
For parawing backflip?
Not necessarily parawing, but backflips in general.
The backflip is just a mood. It's the courage to do something. And at this you can learn basically also on land. And I said try backflips in trampolines, try backflips in the sand, and as more you get experience with backflips in different situations, as more you get in the comfort zone also doing it in the water. And in the beginning, it's just you have to go with them out, be close to them, and push it. You need to push these people and say backflip, and they do because they want learn it, and together with these kids, they're pushing each other, and they see also each other, you know, and then the fight starts, the fire starts burning, and everybody's pushing hard, and you see them sending hard. And yeah, that's so much fun seeing that. I mean, this we also have with balls. When we see it each another trick doing, then we wanted to do it as well. I mean, if I saw a trick from balls, I wanted to do it as well, and then opposite as well. I mean, it's in both direction, and somehow when you are together, you have a better progress than just doing alone. And yeah, that's so much fun, like learning something together and pushing together in the water, which brings you further to the sport.
I just talked to Rob a couple of days ago, episode 8, and he said that you're so cool. You're always up. You're always like driving somewhere, helping him out, and he really appreciates it. So that's really cool what you do for the youth, man. Really cool.
Yesterday we went downwinding, and I get Rob in my car, took everything with him, the whole downwind stuff. And at the moment, he's so addicted to downwinding, and he's progressing so quick, and he wants to learn. He wants to be in the water and enjoying the day. And yesterday, he had his first 28 kilometers at the moment in the beginning. He was really nervous, and he was not talking a lot. And I was there with Simon. Simon is also a really addictive downwinder, and he really loves downwinding. I mean, I don't know anybody else than Simon, which is addicted to downwinding. But then we went together up, and Rob was a bit nervous. But then in the beginning, it just went that he was in the beginning, the first 5 kilometers, he went. Went down. I thought, let's take together and look at Rob. And then he went straight ahead for us. And then somehow we connected again. And but he still had a lot of fun in the water. And I saw the smile in his face. And after the session as well, he was so happy. And if he is happy, we are happy. And he straight went again up to Neuchâtel after this run for another run. So, yeah. It's already hooked about downwinding.
That is so cool. You saw a lot of young people getting into foiling. What do you think is an appropriate age to get into, whether it be wing foiling or palm foiling or any other sort of foiling?
The youngest kid I met trying winging was around 8. I mean, there's still some people which are younger, but with eight, I saw already some guy or had a guy who tried it, and it was so funny because the guy is already small and the board is huge, and when he's flying, it feels like, wow, a big ship who is where he is cruising with. And yeah, but it also on this kid, you see the smile, and that's so much fun. And yeah, so starting from 8 years, I think it's a good age, because then you have also the force to hold this kind of wing, or also for bump foiling. I mean, we see a lot of kids bump foiling because they are light, they can easily jump on it glides very long, and I mean, you saw the kids, they are pushing so much in the bump foiling. Yeah, it's nice to see. I mean, yeah, in glide performance, I think nobody of us will have a chance against these kids, because yeah, and they can dance on this board like on a trampoline or on a little base, and to see that is amazing.
We were talking about how difficult it is for a wing foiler to switch to para wing, but I was wondering, like, it's quite similar to kiting. So, for example, a kite foiler, is it gonna have a super great time with a para wing? Is it gonna be easy to learn for him?
That's a good question. I mean, for me, I like all this kind of foil sport, and I decide on the condition what I gonna do, if it's gonna be pump foiling, if it's gonna be wing foiling, if it's gonna be downwind foiling, if it's gonna be para winging. It's really depending on the condition, and I like to, or I love doing all these foil sports. And yes, I cannot say what is at the moment the best. I mean, downwinding makes a lot of fun, but you don't have like 100 days a year where you can do it. Almost like every month for 2 months, a good day where you can do it. Instead, I go winging, and this is actually my most loved sport, because I can cruise around, I can do tricks, freestyling, and if there are waves, I prefer waves, then I go downwinding, and that's, yeah, why I love every kind of foil sport. And as a kiter, if he wants to learn downwind foiling, I'm pretty sure you want to try this para wing. But I think also, if you want to learn it, it's not necessary to be a kite foiler or a pump foiler. I mean, any kind of foil sports, everybody can learn it somehow. Some needs a bit longer because they have less experience in this kind of sport, and some will have a quick, like, I think winging is the best. If you have background in winging, you will learn pretty quick this para wing.
So then thank you very much.
Yes, and I just want a personal thank you to you, because I used to do windsurf, used to kite foil even, and then I always thought, well, wing foiling, that is like the Fisher Price windsurfing. That's stupid. It looks stupid. And then I saw you and Balz, what was it called? The lake downwind, whatever, and you were on this Lake of Neuchâtel in the waves, and I thought, all right, it doesn't look stupid, I'm gonna try it too. And that's when I started wing foiling, and that's really where
that was our first downwind from Neuchâtel to Yverdon. Yes, we had around 3 hours then, because somehow I dropped and the wind dropped, like, and I couldn't get up for a half hour or 1 hour.
That's not in the video though.
No, that's not in the video, but I remember about this day, and we were using like really old foils and all. I mean, now they are old, but then it was quite new and the state of the art. And now with these high aspect foils and all the new gear we can have, it's crazy how the development was ongoing. Yeah,
for sure. And we're looking forward to see the same development in the power wing too.
For sure. I mean, next year is going to be the year of the power wing for sure. And yeah, we'll see where it goes. I see some deep power system. I see crazy power wings where we can go easily upwind. I see race power wings. I see races coming up for power winging. So there's many things which are coming for sure.
Nice. Then all that's left for me is to tell you what the next episode is going to be about. Next episode, episode number 13, is going to be with, and I'm not sure if you're pronouncing the name correctly, Luke Moore. Not sure. Maybe you've heard of him. He's the face, or rather the voice, of the Wing Life podcast. So we're going to talk to a podcaster about his life, about winging. He's half a year in Mexico each year, which is, sounds like a great life. So the Wing Life podcast, he's going on, looking forward. Maybe we'll learn something about podcasting too, God.
Yeah, hopefully.
It's so cool. I mean, I had already a podcast with him and it was so much fun. I was there with Laura and he's really a cool guy and he's doing also a great podcast. And I listen a lot of this kind of podcast. And it's great. Really great what you're doing here. I mean, doing podcasts is really something sensitive. I mean, when you're driving a car, and then I like to listen to foilers, people, and share their passion. It's really interesting.
Cool. Well, thank you very much, Michi. Thank you very much, Kyle. To the listeners, viewers, see you guys in the next one.
See you in the next one.